Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. For those of you tuning in for the first time, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey and, most importantly, the ridiculous auditions along the way. It has proven to be a very, very enlightening process. I gotta say, these audition stories that some people have are, you just don't expect them. You just don't see it coming. And yet, they happen, and we love it. Today on the show, we have Rana Roy. You know her best from Rami, The Blacklist. She's been on a bunch of series. She was also on tour with Rihanna in the United Kingdom at one point, and now she's on Gossip Girl. So here is my conversation with the multi-talented Rana Roy. Welcome to the show, Ms. Rana Roy.
Thank you.
How are you on this fine day?
I'm great. I mean, as you can tell, I've just come from the gym and I've been nice. Running around like a crazy person. And it's so hot in New York. You know, it's just like all the things are happening today.
Oh man, so you're out in New York.
My best, yes, in New York.
I hear it's been very humid, and also you guys had that storm recently. Like, it's just been a mess over there.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. It was a lot of water. I mean, rain. Clearly, my brain isn't working today, but this is what you're going to get from me.
I love it. Yeah,
it was a lot of rain, and now it's just so extremely hot and a lot of sweat now. So just a lot of water all around.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you move to New York?
I moved, I think, 10 years ago.
Wow.
But it doesn't feel like that because I've hardly been here. So I really say it's 3 years, but it's been 10 years.
Where did you move from? What brought you to New York?
Well, I was in LA. I grew up in Dubai. I went to London, went back to Dubai. And then I took a holiday in LA and signed with a management out there. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm just going to stay here for a bit and see. And then 3 years later, I was training and trying to do loads of classes. And I found a conservatory here in New York that brought me over here. Wow. I actually watched a play that Robin Williams was in, Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo, when I was on holiday here. And I was like, I was just blown away by it. And there was also a lot of people who looked like me on stage. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And if I want to do that, I have to come and train here in New York. And
yeah,
once I was here, I just fell in love with it. I was like, I never want to go back anywhere else. I just want to be here.
Oh, you had the New York love story.
Yeah, definitely. And I came like with a broken heart. I was like going through a breakup.
Oh, no.
It was like the whole thing. And then I was like, you know, the cliche. I had it all.
Yeah, you were living the real life rom-com of New York City.
I was. I definitely
So tell me a little bit about yourself, because obviously I want to get into what you're working on now, because that you're working on some amazing shows. But tell me how you got into acting. What made you want to be an entertainer? Did you know from an early age, or was it something you discovered?
I have a very mixed background, and I grew up in Dubai. My father is Indian, my mother is Egyptian and Nubian and Muslim. Wow. And I was very much, you know, everyone was like, oh, you'll be a lawyer or a vet, because I loved animals. So they you know, they had like this idea of what I would be, and that was the path. And even in the schools there, you don't really get a lot of the arts there. And if it's very minimal, it's not encouraged as an actual profession. So I never thought it was a possibility in any way. Also, I sucked as an actor in my drama class. I was like, this is obviously not for me. I'm so bad. And so I never, ever thought that, but I was really shy as a kid, and I had this incredible dance teacher that came into my life. And so I started dancing, and that just kind of became my social life and became like everything for me. And I started, and I ended up, I started a little late, for dances, but, by the time I was 13, I was performing professionally in the Middle East and traveling around. Wow. When I was 15, I auditioned for this one school that I really liked in England that was a dance school, and I got in. And I had a bet with my dad, you know, and he let me go at 16 years old alone, living
in London. That's remarkable.
Yeah, going to dance school. And, you know, it was a big controversy in my family, and they kind of come full circle because they weren't supportive of the arts. And from then up until now, you know, they're my biggest supporters, but they were not in the beginning. And it was just really cool to see, because I was like, okay, they didn't understand it. They were scared for so many reasons, so they would put it down in certain ways. But then as I started, and it was really hard for a lot of years, you know, it wasn't like I was, you know,
I'm sure
it wasn't a sure thing. It still isn't. It's never going to be, you know. So I think that it was hard, but as they started to see that I was working more, it just became more real to them. And then they started to accept it. But it took many years. So I was a dancer first. I went to dance school. Then I started performing professionally in England. I was spotted in a dance class. I was then taken onto a show in the BBC. And then I didn't know what I was doing, by the way. I was just not clocked into this show. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just saying yes, I guess. From that, I got a... it was like a talent competition type show, and I got put into a group, and we became a pop group, and we had a record deal.
What?
And we toured with Rihanna around the UK on her umbrella tour many years ago. This is a whole nother life. I was like, I don't even feel like I lived that life, but I did apparently. And then from there, the same person who actually spotted me in a dance class, she was kind of like my entertainment mother, but she really took me under her wing, and she's done so many things for the arts in England. Her name's Arlene Phillips, and she created this TV show that was, you know, they were looking for six people who they wanted to create this show around, and it was based around a performing arts school in England, and it was a series, and they were casting it for I think 2 years. I think everybody under the sun at that time who was any kind of performer auditioned for it. And I went in, and I was so bad. I honestly was joke. And they were filming the making of, and I was like, what have I got myself? Why am I doing this to myself? Like, what have I walked into? I'd gotten off a flight from Miami, and I walked like way too late into the audition. And, and then they asked me to sing, and I had a phobia of singing in front of people, even though that's kind of what I was doing. So scared.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, you had a phobia of singing in front of people, and you were opening for Rihanna.
Yeah, no.
What?
Because I was like, I'm a dancer in this group. Okay. I'm just going to like say a few things in the, you know, background, but this, they made me sing, and I was like, huh? And so nothing came out. It was terrible. It was terrible. And, then they were like, where can we? And then they knew me as a dancer, and apparently I was like fine at acting, but I didn't know what I was doing. And
oh my God.
Because they wanted someone who could do all three. And then they're like, where can we fit you in the singing? Maybe you can rap. And I was like, I mean, I can try, but I can try. The worst rapper right here that you could ever imagine.
Oh, so my God.
It went into the next day. And the next day I'm like, I wrote down like scribbles of the like TLC waterfall rap in there.
Oh no.
I wrote it down because I was working like the night before. I didn't have time to learn something. So I'm like coming in with a scrumpled up piece of paper that's not even like nicely folded. And I'm like trying to do this rap. It was just bad. The camera guy was shaking from laughing. Like the director was on the floor. I was like, yeah, guys, I think I should stop and just like leave right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But somehow I booked this job and
I
think even in the dance school, like I got cramps and I couldn't finish the dance. Like everything that could go wrong went wrong. And like they had incredible people audition for it. I was listening. Wow. Yeah, this is not, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm the comedy. Like, you know, an X Factor or what do you have here? American Idol and things
American
like that.
American Idol, yeah.
Like the embarrassing people. That was me. I was like, they're going to make a fool of me on this making of, but I booked it. And that was my introduction to acting. So I spent a year on this show in the first season, literally going, oh, when are they going to realize they made the biggest mistake of their life? Because I have no idea what I'm doing, but I had to learn everything on camera. And
yeah.
And then that's why when I came to America after, I was like, I really want to train because I trained as a dancer and I was like, I feel like I really need the training behind me to support me because I now only know how to play one character.
Mm, this yeah. show,
but, you know, and so that was my journey here.
Wow.
To acting. I never, ever, ever thought it was going to be something I did.
Wow. What a wild roller coaster that just was. I mean, my Lord.
I know. I was like,
that was a lot.
Short answers. I'm sorry. That's not the way my life works.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it makes it interesting. Clearly, I mean, they must have admired your tenacity. You know, they must have been like, well, she keeps showing up. And, you know, that counts for something.
I think they made me the comedy character, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. They were like, oh, she can make a fool of herself. That's great. Let's just put that on her character.
Oh my gosh. All right. So let's fast forward now. So you came to America, you went to LA, then you ended up in New York. And what was like the first TV show that you did in America that was like your moment of like, oh, I can really make it here?
I can really make it here. I feel like I'm still feeling
the right. I mean, we always feel like we're still climbing the ladder. I mean, there's always more to do. But like, what was like that moment where you were like on a set in New York and you're like, oh, wow, this is it. Like this is going to be the thing that I'm going to remember as like the moment where my career started to change.
Okay. So I'd been working for quite a bit before this, but I think, I think the most impactful, because maybe I'd had those moments before in different shows that I'd done, but the most impactful where I cried when I got the job was, it was my first series regular job here. And it was, a show called Queen America that was on Facebook. And I was offered a test for another show and then they wanted to test me and they actually ended up offering it to me because I would have gone with the other test but I really wanted this show. And I just loved, there was like a lot of women involved in it, and I was like, this is the path and like this is where I want to go in my career. And this is, you know, I didn't want to just do it for the sake of doing acting. I was like, you know, I don't want to just take a job just for the money. Of course, I want the money too. But
You need to live.
Yeah. But I didn't want to take a job. And I was, when that came into my lap, I was like, this is the kind of thing I want to do. And, and you know, like I'd been doing a lot. I was like recurring a lot on a lot of shows. And I was like, when is this going to just shift into, you know? And so when that came, I just remember being anxious for a week of just pure anxiety, never leaving my body and just hoping that it would happen. And then when I got the offer, I burst into tears on my friend's bed, and and she cried with me. I was like, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good friend.
Yeah, she was a great friend. She is a great friend. I think that made a big impact on me. And I was like, okay, this is not all for nothing. It's not changing. It's like, it's moving, you know?
Right.
And I really appreciate the job that it was. I just loved the script so much. And so it was something that I was really excited about for a lot of reasons.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You bring up an interesting point, which is like, it's hard to make that leap when you've been a reoccurring or a guest star for so long on shows. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to make that leap, especially these days when TV series are filled with Oscar-winning actors and feature film actors. It's so much harder for TV actors to then make that jump to a series regular, because so many more times they'll hire, you know, we just saw Kate Winslet. Whoever thought that you'd see Kate Winslet on an HBO show? Like, crazy. Yeah. So it's interesting that you brought that up, that it felt like a struggle to be like, when am I going to be able to break through that glass ceiling and get to that series regular role?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a constant struggle, because it's even more and more, and that's happening, you know, every day, more recently. So it's even harder, I think, but it doesn't mean it can't happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like so much of this industry is persistence and, you know, obviously working on your talent and you know, all the other things that come with it, but so much of it is persistence. And I see the most incredible actors just kind of not being able to continue doing it. Moving on, and fair to them, but I'm like, oh, if you just kept going a little longer, I think it just takes time.
Yeah, I mean, acting is definitely one of the professions where it's like, you got to be looking at the long game. You can't be looking at what's next month, what's even next year. It has to be like, if I'm still in this in 10 years, then I know that I'm kicking ass because I'm still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you really have to love it.
Yeah, you have to love it.
It doesn't make it, none of this is worth it if you don't, you know. And yeah. I think people fall out of love with it because it becomes such a job, you know. And mm-hmm. we're, you know, I always think that, yes, we get paid very, very well when you make it to that place of series right. regular and whatever. And people are always like, wow, you get paid, you know, they're always shocked by it. I'm like, but if you average it out between mm-hmm. all three auditions that we do, it's not, you know, like the amount of time and work and energy and anxiety, you know, yeah. when you get that audition and having to like rush back from wherever you're doing to make sure you get it in on time. And now it's like everything's becoming... You tape all your auditions now, or
right.
your Zoom or whatever. You're having to like edit it, and you're having to do all of that. Mm-hmm.
You're,
you know,
it's just, you're one person crew now, yeah, but which is a whole mess. Well, and there's also like the time it takes to even prep the audition. Forget even filming yeah. it or getting to the audition or being in the room. The prep time itself, it's like you could spend like upwards of a whole ass day or 2 days or 3 days on one character because yeah. you're trying to build it out so that it's solid, and that takes so much time, so much effort, so much work, and it's mentally draining. And so you've done all of this stuff for free for like years.
Yes,
you deserve the paycheck.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, I'll take it, please.
Tell me a little bit about Gossip Girl, which is your latest role, which had to have been exciting. I loved that show growing up. I thought it was the coolest show
me
ever.
Too. I know. I didn't know anything about the role or whatever when it came in. I was also testing for something at the time, and so I had to pick. And pick not knowing what this role was on Gossip Girl. But I was like, it's Gossip Girl. I'm doing it. That's obviously,
yeah.
you know, it was such a fun show to grow up with. And yeah, I really wanted to be involved. I was like, all right, I don't know what it is, but I'll sign up. yeah. And it was such a weird thing too, because I think I auditioned. Yeah. I think it was the day before everything shut down during COVID.
Wow.
And then, you know, hadn't heard. And then I just got a call being like, oh, you're being offered this role, but we don't know anything about it. And
amazing.
You know, yeah. Weird, weird and great experience.
I mean, that is weird. How long did you have to prep that character before you were on set? I mean, did they give you ample time, or was it like a...
I mean, I read the script.
Yeah.
The first script. I didn't read anything else, only the first script. So I had like some answers. But I didn't even get a lot of information until after the first day of filming. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Right. Yeah, because it was so busy. And like, you know, everyone is, there was so much to do in this. It was a new, we have all these new protocols now with COVID. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's kind of manic. And I was like, all right, I hope I'm doing it justice, you know. And so I'm like finding out as we're filming, basically. And
wow.
I didn't know a lot. So that was different, but exciting. Yeah. It was also cool to kind of discover it as I was reading it. I was like having the experience that probably people are having watching it from reading it, being like, oh,
right.
Oh, we do this. Okay. Like,
I mean, no. That kind of is the fun part of being on a series too, especially if you go into the next seasons, is like, every episode, you're discovering something new about your character that you did not know before.
Yeah, totally.
Completely. Which is just, it's hysterical, because then you go back to like season one, you're like, interesting that I made those choices, because yes. that would not work with the choices that I've made in season six.
I'm like, I wish they would trust us a little more.
Yeah.
I could make better choices if I knew where I
feel that.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it's better not to know. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get why I do that sometimes, but.
But sometimes.
I like
heads
to,
up. Would I would be nice. well, on this show, we like to share audition stories. It can be, you know, ones that got away, the big one that got away, or it can be sad stories, funny stories, basically anything. Just the audition mayhem that we go through. Yeah. Do you have any stories you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh my goodness. I have so many. I'm trying to pick which one. So many awful, disastrous stories that makes me go, how did I ever do this? Like, how am I working? How did that happen? Not one good one. I really can't pick. Hold on. Let me think. I have a very quick one of something I didn't book, and I'm happy to tell you what it was. So I have this fear of singing in front of people.
Yes.
I've always had it. And, I've been made to do it in my life for some reason. I was like, you're bringing into me what I need to work on. And it's really confronting. Thank you very much, world. But I had an audition for Glee years ago.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted me to bring in sheet music. And I don't really know how to read sheet music. So I was like, okay. So I just came in with it. And the pianist started playing. So I think we did the scene and then we were going into the song. Okay. Playing, and it was completely the wrong note. Okay, so I gave him something that was totally different to how I was singing. And then I was like, oh, I don't know how to do this now. And then it was like not coming together, and clearly he was much more experienced than I was, so it was me who was wrong. And I couldn't get it together, and we were just laughing, all of us, and I was like, I don't think I got this one right. And he was like, no, but it's okay. I love how much you tried. I was like, yeah, I think I should stop trying because I don't think I have hope. And then I walked out, and it was great. It was so fun because I think that, like, you know, you can get so hurt by bad auditions. And I definitely have in the past. Like, oh, I was so bad. And like, why did I do this? And just hate it, you know, putting everything on myself. And just to kind of have the experience of being like, you know what, I'm not a bad singer. I just can't sing in front of people in auditions like this. I can't do it. And don't take it so seriously and don't hate myself for it, you know? And we just had so much fun. I was like, well, they had a fun little laugh in their day.
Right.
And that was great. So that's a quick one. But then I had to do it for Broadway. I did a show on Broadway. And, I guess the audition story for that was really interesting too, because I'd never done theater professionally or anything. You know, I trained it, but I'd never done it. And I'd been asking to do theater to my reps for years. And they're like, Rana, they're not going to take you seriously. Like, unless you had gone to like one of the bigger schools, like, or whatever, it's a little hard to get your foot in the door with that. I was like, but just try and get one audition, please. So this very specific role came along, and they got me the audition. I was like, oh my gosh, this is my moment. Nobody else is taken away from me. I'm not giving them a choice but to pick anybody but me. Like, they're not going to have a choice. They're going to.
Love that.
So I asked every friend under the sun to help me work on it. And I was just like constantly, constantly working on the scenes as much as I could. I went in there, and I don't have a lot of confidence in auditions. I'm usually a terrible auditioner. And I went in, I did it, and I was like, so if you want me, just so you know, I know you have callbacks next week with the director. I'm not going to be here, so you'd have to schedule it for this day. I don't know. It's like I was possessed by
something. Whoa!
Yeah, it's like I became possessed. And and the casting director was like, oh, yeah, no, we do want you to come in, blah, blah, blah. I was like, is this how it works? Do I just like brain power, like overconfidence?
Oh my God.
So then she called me in and they made it work with the director. And I had my call back with him, and his name's Rupert Gordon. He's so lovely and so incredible. And he just, you know, was kind of sat back watching, and he asked me to do it a few times, some notes. And then he was like, Rana, have you, he's very British. He's like, have you ever done theater before? I was like, no. And the producers were sitting there, and we all burst out laughing. I was like, no, I've never done it. I don't know what I'm doing. And so, yeah. And just got really, you know, I was like, no idea what I'm doing. So great, yeah. And then I walked out, and I knew they loved what I was doing. I knew there was like something about the character in me, like clicking, you know, but I left and I was like, oh, wait, hold on. I just totally put myself down. It was like the complete opposite of what I'd done the first one. And I was like, no, I was like very like happy and fun and whatever about it. But I was like, at the end of the day, I've done, which is not on my resume, like the arena tour that I've done. And like, I've performed so much in huge audiences, like I don't get stage fright, you know, things like that. And I was like, I didn't even, he wouldn't even know that. How would he know that? Like, right. How would he know that I have the experience to be able to do this, you know, if I don't share that? And I just like fully put myself down without letting him know I've done all these things that would, you know.
Right.
So I was really disappointed with myself. And I kept thinking about it. I was like, I feel like I can just feel they want me, but I'm such a risk for them for having never done theater and then to put me in a Broadway play. And I was like, but I have to have, like, this is my way into theater. I have to get this role. I also love it, you know? And so, and I was flying to LA for a premiere for a show that I was on. So I couldn't, I had to do it on a certain day. And when I called my reps and I was like, guys, I'm really stressed out. I feel like I kind of screwed it up. And they're always like, Rana, you always say this, it's fine.
Yeah.
No. I really think like, I really just want to get in the room with them again and speak to them. And they're like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. They said they really liked you. It's fine. When I got off the plane, they were like, okay, so they do love you, but they are worried that you're a risk. So everything that I felt was correct, you know?
And yeah.
They were like, so they're going to have you read another scene and you're going to have to find a theater space to tape it in because they want to feel your voice. And you have to get it in by tomorrow. And I was also getting all the stuff prepped for the premiere the next day.
Oh my God.
And I had to find a space like this in LA and find people to help me, you know, to read with and whatever. And then when I did it, I had this incredible coach out there who, he was like, I just kept saying to him, I just like wish I could get in front of them to talk to them about what I had said and like the fact that I have this experience that I think will help me, you know, to do this role and like not be as much of a risk as they say. And he was like, just tell them on camera.
Yeah, why not? Just do it.
I was like, oh, is that not weird? And he was like, I mean, maybe, and some people might hate it, but you never know. If that's how you feel, like if you want to communicate something, do it. So I did.
Yeah.
This is what I've done, blah, blah, blah. So if you like what I'm doing, I just want you to have the confidence that I will be able to like achieve it. And I'll be, I will let you guys down. And then I booked it. So
see,
that was great. But I turned up to my first day of rehearsal and they bring some sheet music to me and they're like, here's your song. It's a play. I was like, wait, what? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah. You've got a song in it. I was like, oh, I'm singing. Oh, with sheet music. Okay.
You're like, hold on. This is not what I agreed to.
After doing 111 performances, I think I've overcome the singing in front of people thing.
Yeah. God, I would hope. Yeah. That, you know, that story is a great story for young performers who are listening to the show because there is something in taking that risk and being like, yeah, you know what? FYI, I know how to do this. I am this person. Even if it doesn't say so, and you're just like, well, should I say that in a self-tape? Sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's worth emailing the director, or sometimes it's worth doing something. I mean, one of the best stories is Kate Winslet sending a letter to James Cameron saying, I'm ready. And that being the exact reason why he did hire her for Titanic. So, I mean, there's those things where it's like, you can take things into control and do things to push yourself and to push your career forward, as long as you have that like confidence behind you saying like, I know that this is what I'm feeling and I know that I need to tell you this at this time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to believe in yourself that way and also to put yourself out there at the end of the day, you know?
100%. Well, it has been a pleasure to talk to you. What's next for you? I read that you want to get into writing side, directing side. Is that right?
Yeah. During COVID, I wrote a short film that I'm literally finishing editing this week.
Amazing.
That I wrote and directed. And that's really the route I want to go down. I want to create stories that I feel like, you know, have still yet to be told, and diversity and inclusion, and things that I've experienced from being so mixed and living in so many places that I feel like I have to offer. And, you know, making people like that feel seen, whether, you know, it's storytelling, whether it's in front of the camera or behind. And I really enjoy being behind it too. And I was filming 3 shows when I was doing Gossip Girl. So those shows are also coming out, and I'm about to fly to Atlanta to do another show on ABC.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a fun year.
Awesome. I'd say sounds like a good year for Rana. How can people follow you on social media to keep up with all of your shows and everything happening?
I actually literally just forgot it as you were asking me, but my Instagram is I am Rana Roy, and that's really the only thing that I use. I'm pretty useless at all the social medias, but I try sometimes and it's all over the place like I am. And so that's really the only one I use. Sometimes I go on Facebook too. I have a page on there and I do read everything. So, I can't always reply to everything, but I read it, and, you know, but the most updated thing I'd say is Instagram. That's it. Good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I am stoked to see everything that you're doing, and I can't wait for your short film. Please send it to me when it's out into the world, because I would love to watch it. And congratulations on everything. You're just kicking ass these days.
Thank you.
Thank you again to Rana for coming on the show. Tune in next week. I will have Kevin Mambo on the show. He's been in the business forever. He's a fantastic actor. He has a brand new Netflix series called Hit and Run coming out soon that I'm so stoked to see. And great conversation with Kevin. Make sure to tune in next week. And if you're not already subscribed to the show now, make sure you click that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to my voice at this moment. You can also leave us some love, some stars, some words, and you can head on over to Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and talk to us, let us know who you want to hear on the show, and check out some fun little graphics that we post, some exclusive videos from these episodes. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.